Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Get your motor running. We're back at 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us today. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And we've got Mr. Excitement with us today, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Bill Hubbard. William Hubbard is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, plus a number of other books, and which we'll get him to mention in just a little bit. But he's our good friend. He's our human resources go-to guy. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I'm so excited. I'm ready for a party.
Yeah. Let's have a party, Bill. What do you think?
There we go.
But we have to make a decision, Bill. Should you or I throw this party as a company party, or should we just say, hey, let's get together and have a party?
Well, that's a very good question. This is the time of year when a lot of organizations have kind of a little holiday party for the employees.
Yep.
Some of them sponsor a holiday party for prospects or clients or customers. And it's a very good element. There's a lot of good PR that comes from it. There's a lot of good camaraderie. We kind of let our guard down. We're not in that strict work mode.
It's good for morale. The employees kind of expect it.
Yes. But there's two sides to this coin. And the second side of the coin is do we serve alcoholic beverages? And
yeah.
What is the potential effect of that to the element, to the party, and potentially the outcome that can occur afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real issue that, you know, as business people, our specialty is providing our product or providing our service. And, well, some of us may feel like we're real party animals to really effectively conduct an event, particularly an event where alcohol is served. It does require a lot of planning, a lot of anticipation, and a lot of issues to be considered in terms of who, what, where, when, how,
mm-hmm.
and why.
Well, I think that you know, I've been to quite a few office parties, Bill, where no alcohol was served. They had a nice punch bowl. They had soft drinks. You know, they had the kind of, you know, it was kind of an early party. You know, sort of, you know, like immediately when at 5 o'clock, you know, the party started and it was going to last for, you know, for an hour or something like that, and maybe the customers came over or whatever, and there was no alcohol served, and nobody, you know, nobody complained. And then I just recently, I mean, literally yesterday, went to one, and they served some wine in small cups, you know, and there was virtually no opportunity for somebody to unless two sips of wine would incapacitate them for anybody to, you know, to drink too much at a place like that.
Well, there's always that possibility. And even one sip of wine or one beer or whatever the yellow, you know, if someone's on a flu medication of some kind that says don't combine with alcohol.
And don't do this and operate heavy equipment, right?
Exactly. So there certainly is a lot of potential issues. And it's one of the key issues that a business owner needs to consider. And to consider what are the possible ramifications of doing this, and what if something gets out of hand? What if somebody has an accident going home? And then deciding, are the risks worth the benefit, and maybe coming up with ways to minimize some of the risks?
Well, even if somebody has a wreck going home and they're not even at fault, and nothing that they drank at the party, sadly in the United States today, nothing at the party, you know, it really caused them to be incapacitated. Still, if they had a drink, that's the nexus to the accident that could make that company a co-defendant.
That's true. There can be some real serious and significant liabilities, and whenever alcohol is identified, then they're looking back to see what was consumed, where was it consumed, what are the facts of that, and if it results in litigation, then the injured party is going to seek some kind of type of redress, and very likely the employer could be named as a co-defendant in the action. And here you were just trying to have a little fun and give a little recognition for your employees, and all of a sudden you're staring at six-figure legal bills and who knows what else can come of it.
Right.
So there are some things, though, that can be done to kind of minimize this. But among other concerns that can occur, sometimes when there's too much alcohol, some of the things I've seen is people get a little bit risky, so to speak, and it can raise questions or concerns relating to this for perhaps sexual harassment or unwanted sexually conduct kinds of incidents or other types of outrageous behavior.
Yeah, demon alcohol can raise its head a number of different ways, can it?
Unfortunately so. I mean, you hear stories or you hear folks talking about things or whatever, and it's, you know, the intent, of course, is just to have kind of a relaxed get-together and thank employees for their efforts during the year, but occasionally things go a little bit too far, and so it is important to exercise some direction and control over how the activity occurs and to try to structure it in a way that it's not regimented, it's not unfun, but rather it's fun and things just kind of flow. And yet we do it with common sense. And I think that's really the key issue is maintaining an element of common sense about it.
Well, and you don't want to get punished for trying to do a good deed. And one of the things I know you've written about in an article recently, Bill, are some steps that you can take to prevent this from happening. And one of them is to monitor alcohol, how the alcohol is dispensed and consumed.
Well, that's a key. Oftentimes, if we have our own little event and we have our own so-and-so volunteers to be the bartender, and then somebody else comes along and there's a practical joke, they're going to spike the punch, and all of a sudden we've got an alcoholic punch that we thought was clearing, and we've got somebody pouring doubles when we thought we were just mixing a regular drink.
Right.
So one of the key issues that's recommended is if you are serving alcohol, is to have it in a facility that does serve alcohol as their business. In other words, have it at a restaurant or have it at a club where they have a bar and they have trained bartenders, and where they're serving measured drinks. Because if you've got Joe Blow behind the bar and he's one of your employees and he's the practical joker and he's going to see how so-and-so looks when they get tanked up and he starts adding a little bit, those are the circumstances that are going to blow up on us. Whereas the restaurant, the barkeep knows his job, does it properly, and we're going to get the properly measured drinks that we're paying for.
When we come back, you've got some other ideas I know about how to manage that situation so that it doesn't get out of hand as well. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Bill Hubbard is our guest, and he and I will be right back. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Bill Hubbard is our guest and our good friend. And William S. Hubbard is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. Also, Medical Privacy Rule, right?
Yeah, that's another one.
That's another
one. Medical Privacy Rule, Guide for Employers and Healthcare Providers. And information on this is at Hubbard.com or my medical privacy work site, which is medicalprivacy.info.
All right. And that's two B's and two T's, Hubbard.
Yes.
William Hubbard. You can find him also online, any of the online bookstores, and you can find his book in regular, in the brick and mortar bookstores as well, folks. And I really encourage you to check out his website. He's got a lot of good information there, and especially if you're having any kind of challenges with human resources issues, or you want to learn more about how to do a better job of managing your people, Bill can help you with that. So check out his website and both of his websites, actually. Okay, Bill, have you seen the commercials where the guy imagines buying somebody something and then he stands there in the store and he flashes through how that's going to go and how they're going to receive it, and at the end in his little vision he sees that this is actually not going to be a good thing to do? Have you seen those commercials? Well, this is kind of like the guy, the business owner thinking about a party, and they're having that whole thing, you know, and we're walking them through this vision now. you know, let's have a party. I think I'll have a party. That'll be a fun thing to do. It'll reward everybody. And okay, then we'll have food and we'll have wine. And okay, that won't be too bad. And then, but maybe I'll have hard liquor. And you know, they go all the way through the scenario, and then at the very end, they see themselves in court as a co-defendant. And I don't want to take all the fun out of the party time, Bill. But I don't know about you, but I know people who that scenario has happened to because somebody had a wreck or there was some kind of a other problem, and it all came back to the original serving of alcohol in that business.
It can, and when the question is posed to me, generally I recommend to clients that to minimize the likelihood of problems, that they, I encourage the idea of having an event, but I discourage the idea of doing it with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly organizations can have it, and here's another key issue, is where you have it and when you have it. If you have it on your premises during work time, then that makes it much more likely a work-related event.
Mm-hmm.
If it's more likely a work-related event, then your liability is going to be greater if there's an accident or incident that arises coming out of that. So certainly if you're looking at a work-related event, what I would suggest is have some of the food goodies, have the buffet, have the cakes, the cookies, those kinds of items, and a soft punch and a coffee or something, or soft drinks, rather than the alcohol when it's on your premises, on your company working time. So this way, it can still be a nice little get-together, but we don't want to create this high level of expectation of party, party, party kind of an event, but more just a nice appreciative thing where we're putting out a nice little spread and we're being friendly with our folks and wishing them a great holiday season.
Well,
so
certainly, go ahead, Bill.
Wait. And so certainly that would be one of the key issues to consider in terms of the direction that we might take with it.
What about, all right, let's say that we've decided to go to this restaurant or this other place where they have professionals and we're having them manage this thing for us. How do we keep those drinks from getting out of hand?
Well, a couple
because
of things.
Even though that sort of puts the nexus over on the restaurant, still we're the ones that are sponsoring it. We're paying for the food and the alcohol. How do we control the amount of drinks people get there?
Well, you've addressed one issue. If we're the ones that is paying for it, then in fact it still is our party. So one approach would be to say, okay, folks, we're not going to really schedule a party. If you want to have a party as employees organizing an event on your own, feel free to do that, and we'll allow it to occur. So one approach would be to have employees as individuals organize the event, decide what to charge for that event, arrange it, and then invite fellow employees. So therefore, it's an employee event.
Mm-hmm.
Not a company-sponsored event.
Well, Ebenezer Scrooge is finally working his way into this, isn't he? What about doing it ourselves, and paying for it? But then maybe providing each person with two drink tickets or something.
Well, now we're looking at some of the ways to control the amount of alcohol that's used, and one approach would be to issue drink tickets limited to one or two. If I'm providing a bar, I have a cash bar rather than a free bar.
And beyond the ticket or two that you give them, that, you know, anything they buy, anything else they buy is on their own.
Exactly. And then one other approach would be to only have the bar open for an hour or two during early part of the evening and make sure that you've got plenty of food there to be consumed so that it's just not just a bunch of alcohol.
You know, another thing you could do is hire a really, really slow bartender and make the line build up a long time. Have long lines at the bar. What do you think about that?
that'll work too. But a fast guy over on the soda line.
Exactly. Put him over in the punch line. Let him whip out the punch. Exactly.
Yeah.
The short lines over there. Hey, Bill. Thank you for being here. Good job today, and all as always, and for all the time that you give us, for all the great wisdom and information you give us. We thank you.
Always glad to be here.
Give us your website one more time.
It's hubbart.com. That's HUBBART. And from there, there's a link to medicalprivacy.info.
Medicalprivacy.info and Hubbart.com. Thank you, Bill. See you next time.
See you then.
Quick break. Right back with our good friend Beverly Inman Ebel right after these messages. 29 after. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
I don't feel so good.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.